Australia's statewide sports talk. On your radio, digital radio, the app and streaming. RSN's Breakfast with Half with Daniel Harford.
To have your company on a Tuesday morning. And you know what Tuesday is around here. It's Action Stations Day, and we are ready to rumble on a big day and what's going to be a very big show as well. Can I wait for you to sit back? Well, I don't just sit back all the time. Get involved. Get amongst it. It's a message for life. Just get amongst it is what you want to do. Get out there and get involved is what we want you to do today and have a crack at being a part of the program. We've got a lot to look forward to in the next 2.5 hours as we engage, entertain, inform as best we can for you in that period of time before we hand over to Michael Felgate on Racing Pulse. But there's a bit coming your way. Robbo at 8, the chief of the Herald Sun, the main man on 360 on Fox Footy. Mark Robinson joins us Tuesdays and Thursday mornings on the program. There's a bit going on and off the field at the moment. And Robbo is across all of that and a whole lot more. So we'll catch up with him just out of 8 o'clock. Looking forward to that. Speaking of going all over the place and having all control, Adam Kingsley is in full control of the GWS Giants. His first year in charge, and after a big win down there at the Cattery, I reckon he would have the chest out perhaps a touch further than it's been at this stage of the season. It's a pretty good performance by them and hopefully springboards them into some back half of the year success. So I'll have a chat to the coach, Adam Kingsley, this morning. Scotty Jamieson's going to join us as well. The captain, we've got the coach and the captain. Captain of Melbourne City getting ready for the A-League Grand Final this week in Sydney, and it's going to be our man's last game. Yep, he's decided to pull the pin and say farewell from a playing perspective. But he's already got a coaching gig lined up, which is a nice little effort from him to be able to do that. Nice work from him. So we'll have a chat to Scotty, our man, who has done amazing things at Melbourne City as a leader. And we'll leave the game very, very nicely. I reckon sit back very, very nicely and look upon a great career, but certainly a huge impact on Melbourne City as well. So we'll have a chat to Scotty about that. Looking forward to finding out how he's feeling in the lead up to it. He'll play it down, I'm sure, but some chance to reflect on a great career. So we'll do that with him today. And Gary Sweet's going to join us. No, not that Gary Sweet, that played Don Bradman in Bodyline series and does all the Australian TV shows. Not that Gary Sweet, the CEO of Luton Town, who on the weekend won a penalty shootout in great drama, not just the penalty shootout, but also the game itself with one of their players. Great drama in that. And found their way into the Premier League for the next season of Premier League action. So it's $200 million, or 320, I think, Australian million, I think it might be, when converted. It's a lot of money. It's the richest game in football, they tell us, the championship play-in into the Premier League. And they are now $300 million richer, or thereabouts, and an amazing story. So we're going to have a chat to Gary Sweet, the CEO of Luton Town. Not too far away, in fact, so we'll get to him sooner rather than later, if we can. And now, the apprentice will be in with a poll, as he always is, and he's been very excited about this one. This is sort of off his own bat. We gave him some freedom today, and who knows where it goes. But he's pretty excited about the poll today. We'll get the latest from him. The Owl will give us all the updates from the world of sport as well. In fact, we'll do that very shortly with all the latest news. And I'm sure the former Socceroo, who no doubt would be rapt that Luton Town have found their way into the Premier League, and as a former teammate of Scotty Jamieson, would be high-fiving him on the way out as well, because they were teammates in the Socceroos, former Socceroo and Scotty Jamieson. So he'll be high-fiving Scotty Jamieson as well, and he'll give us all the latest footy news through the morning on top of all the other action coming your way. The big yarn coming out of 7 as well, don't forget that. And get involved is what we want you to do. 1-300-652-927. That's the number to dial. 1-300-652-927. 0416-90-50-52 via the SMS. Tweet us anytime you like at Breakfast with Half or RSN 927 as well. No, Peter Phelps is not on today as well. Gary Sweet and Peter Phelps. They were mainstays for so long on the Australian TV screen. But no, that's a funny SMS. Nice work from you. The early mail too, of course. Don't forget the early mail. Greyhound Day today, Tuesday Greyhound Day, and Thoroughbreds as well, just before 7 o'clock. And what about our man Johnny Sadler? Tomorrow's winners are still swimming. Got the job done for us yesterday. Tis Jammy, $4, and the spreadsheet is looking much healthier leading into the back end of May, literally the back end of May. The Prez has got that update for us at some stage in the next couple of days. But, yes, a $4 winner, very, very helpful to get it somewhere near back to even for May. It's been a bit of a challenge, but we'll see what we can do to finish it off. All right, let's get to it. 1-300-652-927, give us a call. 0416-90-50-52 off the SMS. And the Owl is going to give us the latest in the world of sport on a Tuesday morning. Good morning to you, Owl.
Yes, morning, Half. Good morning, all. Happy Tuesday.
Happy Tuesday to you.
Yeah, thank you.
Now, are you going to mention Mark McGowan and Mr. Lockemout stepping down as part of your news update?
No, I don't do politics.
Righto, just checking. Well, it was sport, you know. He locked us out. Yeah. He locked us out of the grand final. He locked us out. So it was a bit of sport there from Mr. Step Down, Lock Him Down.
You and I both don't do politics, and that's good thing.
That
was
true.
Stephen's area. And
Stephen. How do you think Stephen's feeling about that?
Not sure. Wonder where he's going, old mate.
Where is old mate? I haven't seen him anywhere. He hasn't. Haven't got any action. Is he going to take over from Koshy at sunrise? That's one of the whispers floating around TV town at the moment.
Is that right? Well, yeah. I actually heard the word on the street was that Oleg Markov is considering retirement to take up the role alongside Nat Barr in Channel 7 studios.
Oleg Markov has had a fantastic
How
year.
How good is he going?
He's had a fantastic year.
He wouldn't have got a run at Carlton.
No. Well, no way. No, don't you dare play any good players out there. No. That's a problem for Stephen, that he's got that right. He was a bit over the top with the story, but Oleg Markov has had a great year with the Magpies. He's doing a bloody good job. What's that got to do with the news you're going to read today?
Nothing, actually. I'll start with the French Open because no Craig today. He's too busy looking for a new Lacoste shirt.
He would be.
Alex de Minaur won his first round match in four sets. Oh, Alexei Popperin and Chris O'Connell are gone, however. Novak Djokovic and Carlos Alcaraz, the two big names in the men's draw, have both advanced. But Felix Auger-Aliassime, the number 10th seed Canadian, was sent packing.
Who was that?
Felix Auger-Aliassime.
Nice. I like that. Number 10th seed, Gonski.
Gonski.
Righto. That's good.
In the women's draw, Kim Birrell, the Australian, lost in three sets, while Caroline Garcia and Yelena Ostapenko progress.
All right, so there's some of the big names in day two action at Roland Garros. So we'll touch base again tomorrow with Craig to get the latest on what's going on over there from the horse's mouth.
Staying on tennis, former US Open champion Sloane Stephens says the abuse of tennis players is getting worse and attempts to thwart it make little difference. This year, French Open organisers have offered players artificial intelligence protection from social media abuse. The technology aims to filter out abuse on platforms like Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter.
What? What?
So artificial intelligence. Are you across
the AI. I'm all over the AI.
So they're using that to try and filter out abuse towards players on social media platforms. But right. Sloane Stephens says, not working.
Right.
It's getting worse.
It's getting worse.
Yep.
No, well, as we know, there's a lot of filth out there on social media, and a lot of imbeciles who have access to technology and just choose to abuse people on it, which is I still don't work out. But anyway, good luck to the AI makers on limiting that.
On the back of the completion of the Premier League season, Chelsea has appointed former Tottenham and PSG boss Mauricio Pochettino as their new manager. The Argentine begins his new role on July 1 on a two-year deal with an option of a further year.
Pochettino's back.
He's back.
Righto. Good. Like him.
I do too. He's good. He's a good manager. Brendan McCullum says there is no greater opportunity for England to prove themselves than the formidable challenge of the Ashes. England meet Ireland in a one-off test at Lord's starting on Thursday before facing Australia at Edgbaston on June 16. They will look to regain the urn after a year in which a swashbuckling style has brought 10 wins from 12 tests. McCullum is quoted as saying, it's what you play sport for. You want to play the best on the biggest stage.
Exactly right. Exactly right.
I think that's going to really start to ramp up now.
Yeah.
It's you know, what are we, just over a month away?
Well, we're a week away from the Test Championship.
We're actually 16.
16 days. 17
16 days. Wow.
Yeah. It's game on 2.5 weeks. Come on, mate.
That's good gear.
We're going to hear a lot of boof.
How good is it going to be going to bed just with the ashes on?
And free to air, too.
Yep.
Channel 9, free to air.
Happy days.
Like it.
And, of course, Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals this morning in Boston.
Whoa.
Between the Celtics and the Heat. A winner, the loser, Gonski. Winner advances to the NBA Finals to take on Nikola Jokic and the Denver Nuggets. Tip off 10:30 our time from Boston.
Yes, looking forward to it. Cash out options are always a good day. You can just watch it without any pain.
Flung over his head. Stewart going to get a chance to wobble it. Getting back. Hogan put it to grass. Buse, of all people, on the siren. And this has been a phenomenal win for the Giants and Adam Kingsley.
It was a magnificent win, is what it was, Dwayne, courtesy of Fox Footy, the closing seconds of the Giants' magnificent victory over the Cats down there at GMHBA Stadium on Saturday night. I reckon it would have been music to the ears, that song, that theme song for the Giants when they won by 7 points. Third time in a row down there at the Cattery too. They've got a bit of a thing going on. I wonder what the coach makes of it. Adam Kingsley joins us on breakfast on a Tuesday morning. Good morning, Kinga.
Morning, Harp. How are you?
I'm going very well. Not as well as you, though. That was a very impressive performance by your lads. You must have been tickled pink.
Yeah, it was. You know, just the way we played, I think, was, you know, just the way we want to play in each and every game. And we've been close in a lot of games, but to be able to sort of put it together, be challenged towards the end a couple of times, respond the way we did was, yeah, that was the most pleasing part.
So you do it without Kelly, without Himmelberg, without Haynes, and you look at that going into the game, you think, look, they're doing a good job, the Giants, they're trying really hard, but you need some class, and those guys provide that. I mean, it's an extraordinary performance, I reckon, without those guys.
Yeah, Sam Taylor's a reasonable player.
Oh, yes.
Not to have him. it was, and, you know, whether that that reality of not having those three particularly who all played last week motivated our guys or adjusted their mindset somehow, I'm not quite sure, but you know, they're going to have to do it again. We'll only get Himmel back this week, so big challenge against the Tigers, and we need to play the same way.
Yeah, that game coming up on Sunday for those Giants fans at Giants Stadium, 110. Check your local guides on that one. It was largely, not largely, but there was a significant influence on the back of your skipper's performance. We spoke to Toby on Friday, ahead of game number 200 on the weekend. And just one of the things I enjoy when I'm chatting to Toby is how relaxed he is, how natural he is when he talks. And there's nothing forced, there's nothing pretentious about him. He just is what he is. And he's an outstanding footballer, we know that, but he's become this amazing leader. What did you think of him when you first got there?
Well, it was surprising. He's very understated. He doesn't say a lot, but as you said, he's thoughtful and considerate. And you know, anything he says, he means.
Yep.
And so when you listen to him and you talk to him, you kind of think, yeah, geez, this guy has enormous influence over the way that what he says, but he doesn't say a lot. And then you watch him train and you watch him prepare and you watch him in meetings and you think, okay, yeah, this guy's as hard a worker as we've got. And then, you know, you package it all up and that's what he becomes. So he's, you know, he's having a significant influence clearly on the field, but I would argue he's having a greater influence off the field, particularly with a lot of our younger guys who are quite inexperienced. The advice that he gives them, the little tips and tricks that he gives them at training and watching tape are invaluable and part of the reason why they're in and performing as well as what they are.
Well, he's doing a great job off field, but four goals in the first half is pretty handy too, isn't it?
Yeah, I would have thought, particularly that one at halftime, you know, that was a, you know, an amazing goal, so difficult. So, you know, he's leading the way with his actions, but he's also driving the group with you know, the way that he does it, what he says, what he requires as skipper. You know, he's demanding. So I've been so pleased with his start to the season. You know, the challenge is to continue and continue to improve and continue to get some good results.
Yeah, I'm sure everyone's looking forward to that. One other player I'm keen to talk about before I flesh it out a bit is Jesse Hogan and your perception on him as a player before you getting the job at the Giants and the reality that you see now day to day. What contrast is that?
Yeah, it's a little bit of a contrast, to be fair. Jesse's a lot of us in the same mould as Toby off the field in that he doesn't really speak a lot. He doesn't add value. We didn't add value at the start, particularly in meetings. Even though he's a very, very intelligent guy and has played the game for a long time, didn't necessarily transfer his knowledge to other people. And so that's been a little bit of a work in progress. But pleasingly, he's now doing that. Probably the biggest shift on the field for me was just how competitive he is. How many times he's in a contest and he just scraps and gets that ball to ground, or he's able to mark it. You know, he's a much better contested mark than I expected. And, we see that, each and every week, that competitive nature where he just brings the ball to ground or he's able to mark it. And, he didn't finish with any goals on the weekend. Probably should have kicked a couple because he's a good kick. But, I thought he had a huge impact on our game just by the way he competed and brought the ball to ground against the number one MOP team in the comp, the intercept mark team, with Radicalea and Stewart and these sort of guys. So, I've been so pleased with Jesse. I think he's had a terrific season.
I'm with you. I think he's been terrific. And not necessarily is the scoreboard the definition of how well he's playing for Jesse. I think he's going beautifully. Just on tackling, we've talked today as one of our big stories about there's almost a campaign from Clubland to fight this dangerous tackle situation that we're currently seeing. You guys lost Tom Green a couple of weeks ago for a dangerous tackle. There's four this week that are going to challenge the findings from the MRO. What are you coaching the players at the moment? Because seemingly there's some unrest from Clubland.
Yeah, well, as you said, we lost Tom Green. We also lost Callum Ward before that, or that was the Bulldogs game, I think.
A while ago.
Yeah, so we lost one in round five and round six. Seven, I think it was, around eight. But I don't think there's any point in fighting, and I think it's the right thing to do. And we'll always argue about the nature of should that warrant a suspension, shouldn't it? Was it reckless? Was it violent enough? But I think the reality is, we have to bend over backwards to protect players' heads, and so any rule that comes in that is going to do that, I think, is important that we see through. And, right at this moment, you might feel like some of these don't warrant a suspension, but in 3, 4, 5 years' time, I think, just the views change. And you could probably go back to rules, that have been introduced, the sliding rule where, below the knee contact or hands in the back, when that got reintroduced and said you couldn't chop the arms anymore. I mean, there was uproar at the time, but now you don't even give it a second thought. And I think this rule will eventually, go that way.
Okay, interesting take. Great to have your insight into that. And this week, you come up against Minnie McWalter, your mate from the Tigers, where you spent a few years as assistant coach. He's got the reins of the Tigers. So who's going to win the battle of the coach's box? Who's the smartest one?
Well, I know who he'll be saying. I'm, just as stubborn as him, so... Yeah, it's going to be good. He's a good friend. We worked together for 4 years at Richmond. He's a really good coach. Been really good assistant for a long period of time there. It'll be a good battle. The Tigers are going okay despite having lost a few. They had a really good game against Geelong, and then obviously last minute loss against the Bombers. So, they're in good form. They're going to challenge us in different ways. So, we have to prepare really well, play our best.
It's Sunday, 1:10. Check your local guides at Giants Stadium, where the Giants get a chance to settle up again and take on the Tigers in round 12 of the AFL. Always nice to chat, mate. Well done on the weekend. Good luck for the remainder of the season. Chat soon.
Good man. Thank you.
Nice to have you with us. Robbo coming up after 8 o'clock. Don't you worry about that. And maybe Stuart's going to jump in too. There's a bit of news bubbling around in the world of racing. But we want to focus the next period of the program to one of our all-time favourites, Scott Jamieson, the captain of Melbourne City, who this week will play in the grand final for his beloved city against the Central Coast Mariners, Saturday night, 7:45 at CommBank Stadium in Sydney. And it will be his fourth consecutive grand final with Sydney as captain, but also his last game as a player. He's retiring on the weekend after an amazing career, and we think that's magnificent. We're going to celebrate it right now with him. Jamo, good morning.
How are you, mate?
Mate, I'm very well.
What are you feeling? What are we? Tuesday, the game's on Saturday. It's your last game playing. You've got a coaching job lined up, after which we'll talk about later. But this is it, mate. How are you feeling?
Yeah, it's the last one, and super excited. But it's only Tuesday, so just on the way to training and business as usual. But I'm sure closer to the game, I think the overriding factor will be it's a grand final, and it's a massive game, and those emotions will take precedent over anything to do with it being my final, and then the following weeks it'll all sink in.
When did this pop into your head, this idea that this might have to be it?
I'd say up until about 2 months ago, there was a plan for me to play on and play next season. But roughly around 2 months ago, the conversation started about moving into the coaching team, and it was an opportunity that maybe had to stop and think, and then some tough conversations with some key people and some good advice, and it made my mind up that the right decision was to finish up and then move into the next phase of my life.
So how difficult has it been to have those conversations and focus on the here and now when you've got that little window of what it might look forward to being like?
Oh, it's not hard at all. As I said, the overriding factor is it's a massive game this weekend, and it's a grand final, and that is my only focus, And I think once it's all done and dusted, then, the emotions and whatnot will start sinking in. But at the moment, I feel pretty normal about everything and pretty relaxed in the fact that I'm going to training, and it'll be a hard day of work, and then we'll back it up again tomorrow and look forward to preparing for the weekend.
So when do you get up to Sydney just for this game, by the way? Do you go up Friday or do you go up Saturday?
No, we go Thursday.
Thursday.
The Dolan medal is Thursday night.
Oh, okay.
With the A-League Awards, and then Friday it'll be a training session, then a form of a grand final kind of parade party, and then Saturday is game time.
Interesting. I was reading a comment from Nick Montgomery, the coach of the Central Coast Mariners, your opponent on Saturday for the grand final, and he was questioning the timing of your announcement, saying it's not the time. You should have waited. What's your take on that?
I don't have a take on that. I feel he should concentrate on his team and his players, and we'll do that with our players. So, I don't see the need for him to comment on myself or our club. He has his own club, his own players. He should worry about them and not worry about what we're doing.
It's built up as the haves and the have-nots. Melbourne City against Central Coast Mariners. The Mariners have been struggling for years, and all of a sudden they found themselves back in the A-League Grand Final for the first time since 2013, I think it is. It's a great performance from them, but they're playing the old us against them. They've got everything, we've got nothing sort of line. Is that expected going into this game mentally?
I think they can dress it up however they want. They've had a very good season and deserve to be in the final. In saying that, if you're talking about what they have and what they haven't got, they've got two Socceroos who have been in the World Cup, and I'm sure they're not on minimum contract. So, you can really dress it up however you want, and that's their prerogative. They need to do what they need to do. But, we take our hats off them because they've earned the right. They've got a lot of good players, and, they've earned the right to be there. So, like I said prior, if they want to run the narrative of what they've got and what they haven't, then feel free. But when you've got two World Cup Socceroos, I doubt they're on minimum wage.
It sounds to me like you're up and about. Like you're ready for a fight on Saturday. That's what it sounds to me like, Scotty, which I'm very, very impressed with, just by the way. The value of experience, what is that in your eyes leading into this game on the weekend? Four times in a row you guys have been in the A-League Grand Final. You can't underestimate that, surely.
Well, no, I don't think it necessarily comes into the actual 90 or 120 minutes. I think with the experience that you gain from previous finals, it actually helps you with dealing with the week and what comes of it, prior to the game. And ultimately, that can help you, but it doesn't necessarily transcend into, it actually giving you advantage on the pitch, come Saturday night. So I'm sure, you know, a lot of us who have played in it will draw on the experiences of what we've done over the last few years and what to do and what not to do. But, you know, the grand finals are all about, you know, winning the small moments and you know, taking advantage of them. So it'll be about that, and that's where the grand finals are won.
What do you have to take away from them? Well, what's the strength of their squad and the lineup and the way they play? That, I mean, you mentioned the Socceroos, but the way they play, what do you have to stop them the weekend to make sure the result goes your way?
Well, they're a team like ourselves that are full of confidence because, you know, they've been on a run like ourselves where we've got to the grand final. You know, they've got a team that's got some really good youngsters that have been playing really well. And ultimately, you know, they've been scoring goals and similar to us. You know, we're full of confidence and scoring lots of goals. So it makes for a good contest, you know. Hopefully it builds up to that. But, you know, I'll take a really boring 1-0 win to Melbourne City and, you know, be happy with that just as much.
Do you get a chance to golf during the week just to get the sort of nerves out, just to get out there and swing the clubs?
We had a bit of a team golf day last Wednesday, actually, down at Albert Park, and then we have a day off, actually, tomorrow. So contemplating whether to try and get out and have a swing or do the housework. It's 50-50 at the moment. They're both tough choices, housework or golf. I'll sum it up.
What would be the more popular decision at home?
Yeah, that's a great question, mate. Luckily, my partner's not listening to this. She's still in bed, hopefully, but
she'll be listening.
You know, I love doing the housework if she's listening.
What are you most looking forward to this week? I mean, the game obviously is significant because it's a grand final, but it is your last one as well. Is there anything you'll miss not doing as part of your weekly build up when you retired?
No, not really. I think, you know, I enjoy being around, obviously, the players and you know, just being able to be fortunate enough to go to a job that I've dreamt of as a young boy. So, you know, ultimately, it'll still carry on, but in a different role. But, yeah, I mean, rightly or wrongly, I'm not, you know, coming in every day thinking, oh, this is the last day doing this, this is the last day doing that. I'm pretty relaxed about it all, and I think that actually helps the fact that it's a grand final. And, you know, it overshadows anything because it's such a big game, and any sentiment that, you know, I feel or anything like that is out the window because, you know, all your focus is on trying to win this game.
Now, Michael Slater famously got a tattoo of his Australian cricket number, test cap number, on his body. It was the wrong one, in fact, so they had to change the whole number system. But your Socceroo 522, does that number play a part in any of your body art or posters around the wall at home?
No, it doesn't. Ultimately, you know, just the memories of actually playing for the Socceroos is enough for me rather than getting etched on my body. But, you know, the jerseys, framed that I had there and everything like that. So, you know, years down the track and a few beers sitting there, I'll be able to really enjoy it.
Well, we hope you enjoy it with a last gasp victory. A little bit of drama would be nice on the weekend for us. Not so much for you, but for us it would be great.
Yeah.
Bit of drama in the grand final with a Melbourne City win. We don't care how it happens. And you getting involved somewhere along the line would be magnificent as well, mate. We appreciate your time this morning. Cannot wait to see you out there for the final time as a Melbourne City superstar and A-League legend. We wish you nothing but the best of luck in the build-up and the game on Saturday. Go get them.
Thanks very much, mate. Appreciate the support. I'll speak to you on the flip side.
Look forward to it. Scott Jamieson, the captain of Melbourne City. Back in the A-League Grand Final, the fourth time in 4 years up against Central Coast. And they're calling it the haves and the have-nots. It's the old chestnut. Nick Montgomery, very interesting feedback for him from Scott that I'm sure will get a bit of traction somewhere, I would have thought. Yeah, Al, before we get to the break.
Yeah, just some breaking news out of the States. Nick Nurse has been appointed the Philadelphia 76ers' new head coach, replacing Doc Rivers, who was told he was no longer needed after their exit, of course. Nurse took the Toronto Raptors to their first NBA title a few seasons back.
Good old Grey.
Yep.
The old Grey Nurse.
The Grey Nurse.
Nice work.
On RSN's Breakfast with Half, it's Robbo at 8.
Look at that! Look at that! Is that the moon?
Bom 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 for dang a dang dang for ding a dong ding blue moon moon moon.
Can't help but think of the Happy Days TV show when I hear this song. I don't know why. I'm not sure if it was Blue Moon. I think it was. Robbo might be able to help me. The chief football writer, the biggest selling daily in the Southern Hemisphere, the Herald Sun, the main man on AFL 360 on Fox Footy, joins us on a Tuesday morning. Good morning, Robbo.
G'day, Daniel. I think it was from Happy Days, wasn't it?
Yeah, Blue Moon. Well, why did they get... Who started singing that? I don't know. I can't remember.
Richie?
Oh, probably, no, he wouldn't have sang. It would have been Potsy or bloody Ralph Melf.
Fonz wouldn't have. Anyway.
Fonzie wouldn't have sang.
There's young men out there and young women out there listening right out thinking, what are these bloody two idiots talking about?
That's not you unusual.
Know, like when we were young and people were talking about old English shows.
That's true. Yeah, that's true.
Life goes on.
Life goes on very, very quickly. Unless, of course, you're at the Blues, and it just seems to be going in circles at the moment. Robbo, what do you make of what's happening at Carlton at the moment?
It's pretty big that Craig Matheson resigned. And from the outside, people are saying, seriously, people would be looking and saying, well, Carlton, start to eat your own. No, they're going terrible on the field. What's next? Right? Will there be a coup? Will others resign? Where's Luke Sayers? So it poses all these questions. I'm not sure if it's going to be have as much pandemonium surrounding it as previous years at Carlton. But, you know, there was an altercation on Friday night. Matheson, I think, was at the Carlton function last night.
Yeah, I saw that.
He was there last night, and even Sayer spoke last night. But my understanding is that Matheson was going to resign before the Sydney game. He's been thinking about it for a couple of weeks. And
so why would he do that?
Sorry?
Why would he resign?
Oh, I think he's disappointed in the performance. I think a lot of Carlton people are just disappointed in the performance. If you look at Carlton as a whole, Daniel, from 2002 or 3 with the salary cap, they go through coaches. They have all these new dawns.
I've come across a few of those.
Nothing arrives. No finals. I think he's just had enough. So,
but isn't that his job to do something about it, Robbo? If you're on a board, now I've never been on a board, and I don't know if you have either, but no. Isn't that your job to, as the director and a member of the board of that company, whatever it might be, is to, if you've got problems, be a part of the problem-solving committee to get it changed, to make it better? Isn't that your job?
No, I think it is your job, but clearly Craig Matheson has had enough.
He's been there for a long time, so I'll give, you know, that's not suggesting that he hasn't tried to do that for
10, 11 years.
Yeah, 11 years, I think it is.
Well, clearly he's got issues with Luke Sayers.
Well, that seems more the reality, doesn't it?
Yeah, clearly, in the direction that Luke Sayers has taken the football club. But Craig's, I think, disappointed with everything, mate.
Yep.
And just had enough. See you later. It's funny when you say, I've had enough, see you later. If you do it Dimmer's way, you get, you know, everyone loves you. You do it Matheson's way, and there's words in the rooms where he's, you know, pretty passionate game. There's words in the room, and it's scandalous, if not crisis time. You know, planning your departure from any football club in whatever role you have there has got to be best controlled by you, not by others.
Mm. Yes, well, and certainly if you can't work with others, seemingly that's the case. And that's okay. Look, if you disagree with the direction that things are going, then I've got no problem with you stepping down and saying that this is not for me anymore. And that's fine. But otherwise, I mean, you're in charge to try and sort that out. But that's not to be for Craig. He's going to step down. Is there a challenge coming for Luke Sayers? We saw Mike Fitzpatrick at the function last night, and he was asked about a potential leadership grab. He didn't. He did rule it out, but it was
dramatic.
Well, it was a bit dramatic. I was less than secure.
It was dramatic, mate. And then he stared into the future. No, not right now.
That's what he said, something like that. Yeah.
No, not right now. And I was watching it like you, and I thought, well, he's the next president. He's the next president. See, Luke Sayers is time's up at the end of next year.
Next year, yep.
Yeah, the time allowed on under the Constitution. I think it's only, was it 12 years, 9 years? It's 12 years.
Yeah.
And, so he's going. So they'll be looking at a succession plan. And he's a logical person. He's a logical person. But, again, you know, footy clubs are funny. They're great places, footy clubs, as you know. Oh, we need a new president. Why don't we get Fitzy back? Why don't we get the captain? He was the AFL chairman. Everyone he's got was well respected. He'd kick, kick, kick. Be, I think he'd be a pretty good president. But you know what presidents do? What do they do? Keep the board, get the board in place, get a direction of the football club, and hold your nerve.
Keep it on track. Well, I don't think there'd be too many people would not like Mike Fitzpatrick to be back there if the opportunity came up, because as you say, his resume speaks for itself.
What about Sellers? Would Mark McClure be president?
I don't think Sellers is going to be president.
He'd be funny president, Mark.
He'd be great match committee chairman, though. Get him in. Big.
So when do you look at Carlton, Daniel? You were there in an AFLW role. We'll get on the AFLW in a second, so I want to talk to you about that.
Mm-hmm.
So when you look at Carlton from the outside, and you were on the inside in somewhat, you were in the tent, and now you're standing with all of us outside the tent around the fire.
Yes.
What do you see?
I see a club that hasn't dealt with expectation, now is just absolutely broken with confidence. And that's what I see. They're just a shadow of the team that they can be. Is what I see, and it's on the back of not being able to live up to the expectation that they came into the season with. Now, and you can always talk about, oh, well, that's outside noise and all that sort of stuff, but and a club like Carlton that's been so desperate for success for so long, and the energy that came with that in the back of last year, and the opportunity that they lost that last game against the Magpies, and the heartache that led to the renewed enthusiasm from the supporter base, let alone the media, I just think they've just lost their spirit at the moment, because they can't do what they think they, well, they thought they could.
Did you drop Harry McKay?
No, neither would I.
No,
Harry will be fine. Now, Harry's got some clues, some little technical challenge at the moment, but it's more so, he's a representation of the whole team. It was the same as Charlie Kern on the weekend. That wasn't so much technical from the boys, any of them, because the skill level from the whole team on Friday night was poor.
No, it was atrocious.
It's confidence. It's 100% confidence, as far as I'm concerned. They're just a shell of themselves. You could see them. You looked through the team last year when they were humming, and it was just, they were dynamic. They were brutal. They were dynamic. They were skillful. Mm-hmm. They were fierce. And because they had the wave of momentum and the energy going with them, it's going against them at the moment. And it does amazing things to athletes.
Yeah. They've got to stand up and fight their way through it. There's no other way.
Spot on.
And there's no other way. You've got to stick together. God, Aaron, his goal kicking. What was your routine, Daniel? There's a lot of people out there. We should get the number. I don't know the number. Get people to ring in.
1-300-652-97.
What was your kicking routine that guaranteed that you kick the ball straight?
1-300-652-927. What was your routine to get the ball through the big sticks?
I would walk in slowly. I can only kick over a jam tin at the end of my career, but I would walk in slowly.
Yes.
Take a couple of steps.
How many steps?
Not many, two, three. But never, ever lift my head from the ball. I'd never lift.
You're sort of Tony Lockett areas. That was Tony Lockett.
Well, when you're a young fella, and Tony Lockett was kicking goals like he was, it's pretty hard not to look at his style.
Yeah, that's true.
And go, have a look at the way he kicks the ball. And we're all going to find a way to kick the ball, don't we? We all have to. You got your own, you got your natural bit, but you take little bits from others. Remember when Fev, everyone was holding, all the kids were holding the ball like Fev?
Yes, that's true.
Because he was such a beautiful kick, so mate, thousands of people would like to get hold of Harry McKay.
Just give me half an hour. One of them. Just give me half an hour, Robbo.
Well, get down there, mate. You're a club legend. How's the AFLW season? I think it's really disappointing by the AFL. Really disappointing.
Which component?
Oh, everything. Everything. The money. The length of the season. You know, they wanted to go, you know, they talk it up as being, you know, one of the most professional competitions, women's sports in the competition, but I don't know if the AFL treats it as well as it should. They should have a CBA done by now.
Well, the boys don't either, in fairness. So it's the collective CBA. So I was talking about this morning, Rob. I'm not too distressed about the CBA stuff. They should, by rights, but that never happens prior to the season. For any season of CBA, I think the last three CBAs have always sort of gone into the next year, which makes, I don't know how that works, but that's seemingly the way it operates.
How can you job and being get paid and don't know what you get paid. You get paid some.
Well, you get, yeah, it's the current model continues that just rolls on and they get back paid should the levels go up. So and so you can live with that. You can at least you can forecast, you can live on that, you can plan a little bit around that. So I'm not too distressed about that. I am distressed about, as I have been through the last five seasons in my involvement, of the lack of care that they give to the competition from a preparation perspective. Like, we don't know when round one is. Like, how mad is that, Robbo? And this is the challenge that the competition's faced all the way through. It's always seemingly catching up, playing catch up. Always
yeah,
seemingly playing catch up.
I was just about to mention that, Daniel.
Sorry about that.
No, it's all right. You bite me up and then you take the stage.
I thought you might like someone who's been inside.
Yeah, I've spoken to Lauren. What about the Herald Sutherland? She interviewed, I think, someone. I know someone interviewed Aaron Phillips and ever the stage person. Aaron, you know, head down, work away. But the season's starting soon.
Yeah, about 12 weeks, I reckon. And there's a little window prior to the bye or around the bye time of the AFL men's season leading into the finals. So that's sort of the window. But they don't have a fixture. And it's dead set madness, Robert. And as I said this morning, it's banging your head up against the wall every day in that competition. And it's got to change. If the AFL are fair dinkum about it, which they purport to be, but their actions suggest otherwise, they have to do better. They just have to do better for this competition.
There's headlines in the Herald Sun. Former AFLW coach Daniel Hanford slams AFL.
Well, I can't find my accreditation anyway, so that's not a big issue at the moment.
Sort
of getting in the Mickey Warner areas.
Yeah.
Hey, I want to read you this, Robbo,
yep.
From Patrick Cripps on Instagram. I can cop criticism about form and losing, but it's factually incorrect and questions my character and commitment to the team. It pisses me off. This is the accountability as players that we would love to see with certain people in the media. For clarity for everyone, I stayed with the team the entire time they were in Sydney and joined my wife and family members on the Saturday night as we had the weekend off. We aren't where we want to be as a team right now, but never questioned my commitment to this team or this club. I can't wait for Friday night. Hashtag baggers. That's from the captain.
Well, I'm missing life yesterday. Yesterday, I was working on the Carlton story and then the Hawthorn racism story and then I did the show last night and fell asleep when I got home. Who has been allegedly trashing Patrick Cripps' character?
Well, it was a story on Classified last night that Sam Doherty and Patrick Cripps stayed away from the team for the weekend. And they had an extra day off, that's cool, but they'd stayed in separate hotels all weekend long. Now, that's been reported to be factually incorrect, and Patrick has quite rightly come out and said this is not good enough and get stuffed, basically.
So what was the story?
The captain and the former captain weren't staying with the teammates in the build-up to the game was the story. They were in separate hotels. That was the story. And it did seem, if that was, as we talked about again this morning prior to the clarification, it seemed most unusual that anyone would allow that for a captain and former captain leader of the group to be able to stay somewhere else prior to the game. That was very odd. And now it turns out it's really odd because it didn't happen. But they were copying a bit of abuse and a bit of flack because of that, Robbo.
Well, good on Daniel. I wonder if the Footy Classified Mob, which I don't watch, to be honest, Dan. I don't watch that show.
Well, you've been busy on Fox. You just unwinding
from
Fox.
No, I just don't like the show. Well, I am tired.
That's true. You're working hard.
I do get tired. I wonder if they'll put an apology in on Wednesday night.
Well, I hope so. That would be the right thing to do.
If they've got it wrong, they deserve to make an apology to Patrick Cripps.
Yep, they do.
And I agree with Patrick Cripps. He doesn't have to defend his integrity and character. Anyone, and we're lucky because we get to meet some of these people through our working life, Daniel. And you knew Patrick when you were at the football club. He's an outstanding human being. He takes the role of captain very, very seriously. He's in a hole at the moment himself. No one who can't be working harder than Patrick to try and, you know, get that confidence back amongst the team. It's why he's the captain in the first place. So, yeah.
Agreed. Now, I wanted to move on just quickly before we let you go. I want to talk about this Brett Ratten situation with you. An interview you did with Rats that he asked you, which was revealed last night on 360, he asked you not to publish. Was when he got the Kyber from the Saints?
He got the Kyber from St Kilda. And
yeah.
I know Rats a little bit, and we're out the same way in Melbourne. And I rang him up. I said, go on, let's just do an interview. He goes, I said, right, well, let's do lunch. And we went to the Warrandyte pub and had a couple of pots and had a meal. I think I had the hamburger and he had the chicken and salad. And he just started at North Melbourne. He was 3 days into North Melbourne. So I put the dictaphone on and we just spoke. Not as great mates, but reasonable friends, you know. We've known each other for a long time. And at the end I said, let me write it and I'll get back to you. He said, okay. So anyway, I was on holidays and I wrote it up and rang him up. And he said to me, I texted him actually, and he said, hey, mind if you don't run the story? I said, no worries. You could have told me, no. I said, don't worry.
Could have saved me buying you lunch.
Yeah, no, I was on holidays, had to write it. So, and that's not about me. What I was trying to say to people, the integrity of this man is just bad, endless. Like, you know, he said things about security, nothing major, just his disappointment at what happened.
Yep.
And he said, nah, it's okay. I can move on. And he spoke last night about, hey, it's okay, I got sacked from St Kilda. He didn't say, oh, he said people have things that go horribly wrong in their lives. Horribly wrong. All he did was get sacked. Now, it hurt him enormously. But for this guy, again, to put his hand up to help and put himself back as a senior coach, is incredible. It really is. He's an incredible human being.
He is.
Brett Ratton, you know, he just is. So I hope he goes really well. I think the last couple of weeks North Melbourne have shown a little bit more grit in the way they're performing. And people can see all those young kids coming through and think, right, this is going to be a journey. But just look at Hawthorn. Stick with it, and you'll start getting results.
Stay the course. It's a plan well worth following. Robbo, always great to chat to you. Can't wait to chat again on Thursday morning. I'll be watching 360 tonight. Go get them.
Thank you, Phil. Talk to you soon.
Good stuff. Mark Robinson with us, chief footy writer of the Herald Sun, and the main man on 360. I've got a feeling that Patrick Cripps' Instagram post might feature on 360 tonight. Let's see how it goes.